Amen. We've got guests and visitors who are here and folks in the internet radio audience. You've never had the privilege of meeting this dear man of God, his precious wife. They're veteran missionaries, served in Peru for many, many years. He's been a pastor, been an evangelist, and God still uses him. Their son is a missionary in Hawaii and been used of the Lord there and in Alaska. What a contrast. He was in Alaska and as in Hawaii. And I thank the Lord. And brother, why could you come right on? We want you to preach. And brother Tim, he'll kind of chase him down and help him. Amen. Want to make sure he gets up here this morning. Let's welcome back into the pulpit Dr. Kerry Watkins as he comes to preach.
Fella can't preach after all that stuff. There ain't no preaching in it. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. This is the chapter that tells us about Mary and Martha's brother that died, but Jesus raised him from the dead. Scripture says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light there. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. How about that? I am the resurrection. And then he said, and the life. Praise God. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, listen, shall never die.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, I want to use that last verse there. The Master is here, and he's calling for you. You say, well, wait a minute, Mr. Watkins. No, you wait a minute. The Master is here, and he's calling for you. Now, I got a few little notes right here in this little book, if I can just get it straightened out. The Master, I want to use that. The Master is here and calling for you. Now, this is the story, and I want to draw out of it verse 28 and make a personal application and a challenge to you. There was a story of a young woman that was found in a garbage can, and they took her to the hospital, the policeman that found her, and she was in such a mess, they decided they'd better call the preacher, and the preacher came and talked to her. And she told her life story, that her daddy sold her into prostitution at the age of 14. And she told her life story, and she asked that question, when I was a little girl, and would watch as the people went to church, where were the Christians then? The Master is here, and he's calling for you. Who's calling? Number one, the Christ of creation. The same Christ who brought this universe into existence is calling you today. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things, in Colossians tells us, all things were created by him, and by him all things consist. That means everything is held together. The truth is, if God took his hand off this universe, it'd fly all to pieces. A third of this population of this earth have never heard of Jesus Christ. The Master's here, and he's calling for you. Is it right? Is it fair? Let me ask you this morning. Is it right? Is it fair for us to be in such a place as this, all dressed up and feeling good and everything we could think of is able to get it. But there are multiplied millions on the face of this earth that never heard the name of Jesus yet. And I'd be first to say that there probably are people living in this community right here that have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. They might have heard his name when somebody cursed or swore. The Master's here. He's calling for you. He said, well, preacher, what for? Well, first of all, let's look at who's calling. The Christ of creation, the same Christ who brought this universe into existence, is calling for you. He's the Christ of Calvary. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless life. Praise God! I just love to jump up and holler, hallelujah. Thank God. I went through World War II and didn't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. God spared me and brought me home. An old country preacher was willing to come to my house and invite me to church. When I got to the church, he preached Jesus. And praise God, I'm saved. I got saved. I've been saved ever since. Next time you see me, I'll still be saved. And when all of us go to heaven and be there forever, I'll be saved. He doesn't do anything that's not right. And well, wait a minute. I got some more here on this thing. If it's all right, I can cry. Yeah. But I asked Brother Bill, what you want? He said, do what the Lord wants you to do. Okay. Who is this Christ that's calling us? Number one, he's the Christ of Calvary. Let's take a trip to Calvary. They hung him on that cross that day. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That's what Jesus was saying on between heaven and earth. Father, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ looks after you? I'm almost 90 years old, but I declare I'd love to jump sky high. You say, well, what's Jesus saying on that cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. What are his enemies saying? They're saying, Christ saved others, but he can't even save himself. That's right. Why is Christ on that cross? He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Has it ever really dawned on you after you got saved that God doesn't look at you as a sinner, as one that boys, I'm glad I'm one of the king's son. Amen. Well, what's Jesus said? Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. What's his enemies doing? Those fellows that talked the Romans into putting him on a cross. He saved others, they said, but him he cannot save. They didn't really know what they were saying. Do you realize this morning that if the Lord Jesus Christ had not been willing to go to that cross and hang between heaven and earth and expire, he was dead. And he laid in the tomb 4 days. Do you understand that if he had not died, if he had not breathed that last breath, there'd be no way whatsoever we could be saved? No Christ. The Master's here. He's calling for you. He's the Christ, not only of Calvary, but he's the Christ of resurrection power. He who tore the bars of death apart. He who's never lost a battle. The answer to every problem. My Lord, we don't have anything but problems, do we? Go watch some of the fellers that's supposed to be watching after us. Okay, the answer to all the problems worldwide is Jesus Christ. And they come along and say, well, God's dead. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's dreary way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Ooh, he lives within my heart. Whoopee! Aren't you glad? Well, say whoopee back then. Amen. Why is Christ calling? Well, we hear about the Great Commission. Christ is calling because the lost world needs Christ. 65%, listen, 65% of the world's population has never heard of Jesus Christ. You fellows that are going to the mission field, get you some more and take them with you. Death apart from Christ means eternity in hell. Jesus said, if you die in sin, your sins, you can't come where I'm going. I want to ask you a question. Would you trade your religion for those who've never heard? The Mohammedan in Mecca. The witch doctor in Africa. The Indians of the jungle. I've been there and done that. I've seen the witch doctors. I've seen the devil worship. They didn't know he was worshiping the devil. I've seen them take their own little babies and dash their heads against a rock. Religion. Religion. Everywhere. Don't say you don't have religion. I don't care. You got some kind of religion. Oh, but God bless your heart. He can give you the right kind right now.
Yes,
if you just ask him.
Amen.
I've seen him murder little babies. And I've seen him take old women and can't handle themselves anymore. Can't care. Put them off to the side. Walk off. And they cry. And they ask for bread. Nobody pays any attention. Christ is calling for you, because without a revival, America is going to perish. When I was an 18-year-old kid, Adolf Hitler was trying to conquer the whole world. They said, "We've chosen you." I said, "I don't want to go." They said, "We'll come get you." They said, "We won the war, and now we're going to have peace over all the world. We haven't had anything since World War II except war somewhere." Christ is calling you, because without a revival, America will perish. America's drowning herself in the cesspool of her own sins. There are more barmaids in America than girls in college. Did you get that? There are more barmaids in America than girls in college. There are more people in prison than in all the colleges and universities. In southern United States, there are 15 million children of school age who never attended a church of any kind. We spend $10 billion a year for alcoholic beverages. We pay $9 for crime for every $1 that we give to the church. Preacher, want me to say that again? America pays $10 or $10 billion a year for alcoholic beverage. We pay $9 for crime for every $1 that we give the church. We spent more for dog food than foreign missions. God have mercy. You say, "Well, preacher, where'd you get all this?" Well, this is the day when we get all kinds of... You can find out about anything. Spent 13 times more for jewelry than they gave to foreign missions. You want me to say that again, preacher? Okay. They spent 13 times more for jewelry than we gave to foreign missions. We spent $7 for entertainment for every 1 cent for foreign missions. You hear that? Spent $7 for entertainment. Oh, I got to go down to the movie show. Why don't you get right with God? Spent $7 for entertainment for every one penny that we give to foreign missions. But God's judgment on America mounting up. And World War I, they said, well, we got the whole world fixed now. Well, it won't like that in World War II. Because when I hit 18, they said, Uncle Sam wants you. I said, I don't want Uncle Sam. They said, we got you. They said, well, we don't have any more war. What about the war in Korea? We're facing World War III right now. Did you know that when you go to bed at night, you got a missile aimed at you? That'll sober you up, won't it? I got a missile aimed at this church right now. You say, oh, well, preacher, they're not. They got missiles aimed everywhere. Now we're going to get into World War III. How much do you care? You're sitting in a beautiful place, comfortable. Man, won't that singing good this morning? I'll tell you, I'm wanting to get up there and help them. But just wonderful, just wonderful. But really, how much do we really care about the souls of men? Master's here. He's calling for you. Preacher, what if you had a congregation like this would come on Thursday night and go out into the highways and hedges and knock on doors and say, hey, I'm from Benson Grove Baptist Church and I've come to see you. And you'd be real sweet, but now when they open the door, don't you step, no, you step back. You might get socked if you don't. But what would happen if a congregation like this would get right with God and say, I'm going and compel them to come in and get on your knees and beg and weep if you have to get folks to come under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ that they may be saved. Since last night, 120,000 people have died without Christ. Across this world, since last night. You say, preacher, where'd you get all these things? They're forever. They count everything now. How much do you care about the souls of men? The communion service they have in church. Most of the time when you have communion service before you finish up, say, well, has anybody been left out? Oh, how many there are, even in communities like this, that have been left out? Jesus said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Will you have a revival? Will you say, God, help me? In the United States, it's 193 bartenders. 193 million bartenders. No, 193,000. I'll get it right. Stay with me. I don't know what your clock says. Mine says it's just 11:30. But since that, here in America, 193 million, 167,000 preachers. 167 million, I beg your pardon, I can't get it right. In America, 193 million bartenders, 167 preachers. 377,500 workers employed in the distilleries. 309,449 church buildings. 987,938,000 liquor outlets in America. We spent $10,700,000,000 for whiskey in America last year. How much do you care about the souls of men? You better praise God you got a preacher that'll preach. Give you the word of God. What is Christ calling for? He's calling for your life completely and absolutely yielded to Him. The little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes gave his head all to Christ. They were having trouble. They'd been out there listening to Jesus for a good while, and folks are getting hungry. And they said, well, what are we going to do? They said, well, nobody brought lunch. But one fellow spoke up. You can go back in the Bible a little before that. One fellow spoke up, said, there's a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, what if you don't have anything but maybe 5 biscuits and 2 fish? Why don't you go ahead and tell people about Jesus anyhow? What is Christ calling for? Lives completely and absolutely surrendered to Him. Feed this place here in this county. Feed North Carolina and finally the regions beyond. When I was in Peru, there was a fellow from up in Michigan or somewhere. His name was Dick Kendi. He had an awful something that happened to him. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it just tore his face all to pieces. And if he just walked in, you looked at him, he was hideous. He could see just a little bit out of one eye. But he said God called him to Peru. And he'd go in those tribal areas and he'd win more people to Jesus Christ than anybody down there, even if he had his PhD. Master's here. He's calling for you. Thousands of places in the United States of America are waiting for the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Untold multitudes in the regions beyond are crying, how long? How long? How long must we wait? And I say to you this morning, if the desire of your life hereafter is to win souls for Jesus Christ, I'd like for you to just come, kneel at this altar and say, Lord, I give myself to you. I want to win people. I want to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ.